is to the state of Richard Nixon. For underneath his borders, the devil draws no line. If you drag his muddy rivers, nameless bodies you will find. And the fat trees of the forest have hid a thousand crimes. And the calendar's lying when it reads the present time. Oh, here's to the land you've torn out the heart of. Richard Nixon, find yourself another country to be part of. And here's to the schools of Richard Nixon, where they're teaching all the children that they don't have to care. All the rudiments of hatred are present everywhere. And every single classroom is a factory of despair. Oh, there's nobody learning such a foreign word as fair. Oh, here's to the land you've torn out the heart of. Richard Nixon, find yourself another country to be part of. And here's to the laws of Richard Nixon, where the wars are fought in secret, Pearl Harbor every day. He punishes with income tax that he don't have to pay. And he's tapping his own brother just to hear what he would say. But corruption can be classic in the Richard Nixon way. Oh, here's to the land you've torn out the heart of. Richard Nixon, find yourself another country to be part of. And here's to the churches of Richard Nixon and Billy Graham, where the cross once made of silver now is caked with rust. And the Sunday morning sermons pander to their lust. All the fallen face of Jesus is choking in the dust. And heaven only knows in which God they can trust. Oh, here's to the land you've torn out the heart of. Richard Nixon, find yourself another country to be part of. And here's to the government of Richard Nixon. In the swamp of their bureaucracy, they're always bogging down. And criminals are posing as advisors to the crown. And they hope that no one sees the sights and no one hears the sound. And the speeches of the president are the ravings of a clown. Oh, here's to the land you've torn out the heart of. Richard Nixon, find yourself another country to be part of.
And that was Here's to the State of Richard Nixon on Phil Oakes' old late 60s, early 70s album, Chords of Fame. Great song. Lots of other good songs on that album, and you'll be hearing some more of that during the next 2 hours. This is the recorded edition of Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. Civil rights, talk, music, and ramblings with Bathrobes, Pier, Robert Norris. That's me. You're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. We have no call-in number yet, but if you have anything you wish to say about anything we're saying, give a call to 423-4833 or 42, and we will put your commentary on the air, or attempt to do so. This is actually a kind of uncertain moment for me. As you hear this program, I will be heading for San Francisco for a 1 p.m. hearing in the court of Judge Robert Barkley. Judge Barkley is a visiting judge to the Municipal Court in San Francisco, who is charged with overseeing my jail sentence. I've been sentenced to 2 months in jail for serving free food with Food Not Bombs to the homeless up in San Francisco. That conviction happened in 1994 under a court order, an injunction. The injunction was a politically motivated injunction designed to crush Food Not Bombs because the mayor didn't like the sight of an anti-hunger group serving lots of homeless people right across the street from his office in the park. It made for a bad image and indicated that his policies were abusively anti-homeless and not meeting the needs of the poor people of San Francisco, as indeed Willie Brown's policies are abusively anti-homeless and not meeting the needs of the poor people of San Francisco. The injunction was originally secured under Mayor Art Agnos and was renewed under Mayor Frank Jordan and has not been rescinded under Mayor Willie Brown. I was the only person ever tried and convicted of this injunction, though hundreds and hundreds, about 1,000 were arrested. And Food Not Bombs continued to serve nightly, actually twice daily for many days, throughout the 8-year period when it was being harassed in San Francisco.
The whole attack on Food Not Bombs in San Francisco has gone into a lull, if not disappeared, under the administration of Willie Brown. The injunction still stands. We have not been able to get it dissolved. And that injunction was initially taken out in 1989 under the administration of the so-called liberal Art Agnos, the point being to eliminate Food Not Bombs' 24-hour food serving activities at Civic happening right across from Mayor Agnos' office. Food serving activities were a part of the 24-hour vigil and encampment. It was actually really an encampment rather than any kind of vigil like we have here in Santa Cruz now. It was a true encampment. They actually had sofas and structures and so forth designed to essentially make life livable and survivable for the homeless people of San Francisco who were, as they are now, being denied shelter, basic rights, and being completely ignored by the schmoozing to death Agnos administration, who was posing, Agnos, the mayor, was posing as the great liberal. Agnos was under some pressure the year before to eliminate vehicular residents, people in vans, and in the Haight, he went after people in the Haight-Ashbury district after being pressured by conservative neighborhood groups and by the police department, and that was why he began the initial attacks on Food Not Bombs in the summer of 1988. Then in the summer of 1989, as I said, he got an injunction against Food Not Bombs, which started from being a TRO, a temporary restraining order, the first step of an injunction, went to becoming a preliminary injunction in 1991, and became a permanent injunction in 1994, allegedly because Food Not Bombs had not secured, quote, all necessary health permits. Of course, the key reality here is that Food Not Bombs had gotten a health permit, had gotten a park permit, had gotten fire and liability insurance. But the city was intent on eliminating Food Not Bombs. In fact, internal memos revealed by the attorneys in various lawsuits later found actual memos saying, what can we do? We've done everything we can to stop Food Not Bombs. We've changed the regulations 3 and 4 times. What's next? But the sad thing is that all of this has led to no damages, no security for Food Not Bombs, no legal protection for Food Not Bombs, and Food Not Bombs' primary strength lies in its willingness to keep coming back, to keep serving food. And its appeal to more people in the public to come on out and serve free food continues to this day, both up in San Francisco and indeed in Santa Cruz, where Food Not Bombs and other Food Not Bombs, everyone is different, it's not a centralized organization, serves free food here on Wednesday afternoon at Cathcart and Pacific and on Saturday and Sunday at River and Josephine. Indeed, Feed the People. Also, another group down here, I want to take off my hat and tip it to them. They're serving almost every day of the week at Cathcart and Pacific down on the mall, and they have been a mainstay of the demonstration, the City Hall Sleepers Vigil. They continue to come and provide food, now at the risk of injunctive action by the city, because part of the injunction against the City Hall Sleepers says, thou shalt not prepare, cook, or store food. And the penalty is a 6-month jail sentence, or let's say up to 6 months in jail.
And I remind you, we're talking now about Santa Cruz. I kind of skip back and forth between two towns, San Francisco and Santa Cruz. San Francisco has actually initiated a more liberal policy under Willie Brown, the new mayor, and Terrence Hallinan, the new district attorney. Hallinan, as I said, both testified at my hearing and testified at my most recent hearing, as well as my earlier sentencing hearing, spoke publicly on my behalf and on behalf of the rights of individuals serving with Food Not Bombs. And he also threw out all the sleep crime charges. Although, it's got to be said, the police are serving them up as fast as Hallinan can throw them away, and they have a continued policy of harassing homeless people in the parks, which they're stepped up harassment. So that yet remains to be dealt with. I'm hoping to bring up that issue up in San Francisco as part of my case. And one of the concerns I'm going to be raising is not just to free me and anyone else jailed for serving free food. I'm the only one in jail at the moment that I know of, though people in Arcata continue to face a potential trial in September. People in Whittier are being ticketed. People in Sacramento and back in New York City are being harassed. So that's happening, but I'm the only one
behind bars if the judge chooses to put me behind bars at 1 o'clock today. But there are a lot of homeless people who are being harassed up in San Francisco for sleeping. There are a lot of homeless people being harassed for having a backpack with them. There are a lot of homeless people being harassed for being in public spaces in ways that disquiet merchants and conservatives in the community. And I'm not talking about taking a dump on the lawn, although if you've got no restroom to go to, that doesn't seem to me appropriate that city authorities should have any complaint whatsoever if people are forced to engage in the necessary and essential activities of life, like crapping and pissing. In Santa Cruz, we're concerned with that. I'd like to see some bathrooms open. They do have bathrooms in the parking structures, and why those aren't opened, I don't know yet. But I've heard some kind of vague promises and commitments from Catherine Byers and Celia Scott, who, by the way, are meeting with the protesters at 10:30 on June 10th, Monday, at the City Manager's Conference Room, for those of you who want to go to that meeting. That's 10:30 in the morning, Monday morning, June 10th, where Catherine Byers and Celia Scott will meet with the protesters after 2 weeks of not meeting with the protesters, a crucial 2 weeks. Byers is the council member, along with Celia Scott, who refused to sign a declaration to the court in which they would simply say, the demonstration was neat, I was never harassed by members at the demonstration, I never saw any feces or rats around City Hall. They agreed that all these statements were true, but they refused to sign statements about that, to their shame and discredit. They claimed that they would make statements in other forms, but it is crucial that, and has been considered crucial by the attorneys, David Beauvais, Kate Wells, and Larry Hildes, the three attorneys who are taking the case of the protesters, crucial that city council members and people of, quote, good reputation go to the court to challenge the fabrications, exaggerations, and misstatements of the police chief, the mayor, the Sergeant Clark, and the gardener, who are essentially the main complaining witnesses. I guess Andy Crane also has some complaints. Complaints. Well, that brings us to perhaps an update on what's going on at the City Hall sleepout. Now, you probably heard on the station, and you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, Pat Ring and Daniel Hopkins a couple nights ago describing what happened on Tuesday morning when police came to destroy and despoil the signs that they had posted in good faith, not trying to violate the court injunction, on the lamppost right outside City Hall. The signs were 14 inches or under, as provided by law. They had the names of the people who had written them on the back. They had a posting date on the back. They were legal by the very narrow restrictions of the court injunction as they understood it, that had been handed to them, as well as an informational packet that had been handed to them. But lo and behold, Sergeant Crane came by later with more information. Well, actually, first another officer came by. I guess Sergeant McMahon came by and said, you're going to have to move this or we're going to cut it down. She apparently pulled a knife out of her boot and began to move toward the signs menacingly. And the protester said, wait a minute. We just, you know, look at the injunction. Here's what the city attorney said. And she backed off, says you talk to the city attorney. The city attorney apparently then found a section of the law which said the signs cannot protrude from the light pole by more than 2 inches. Now, of course, perhaps it's not protrude at all. The light post at City Hall is 2 inches by 2 inches by 2 inches. It's a very small square lamp post fixture, and so any normal size sign will protrude. Hence, they said this not only has to be cut down, but it's in violation of the court order, and they threatened to give tickets. And they gave tickets, and tickets doesn't mean a $162 fine or an infraction type thing where you go to court and pay a bail or maybe do community service. This is a basis for a contempt of court charge. And indeed, one man was arrested, Pat Ring, and led away in handcuffs. He was later released on his own recognizance, but contempt of court is a very serious charge, and it is the charge, indeed, that I am facing a 2-month jail sentence for today. We're talking about convicted of a jail sentence for 2 months, convicted of the crime. For me, it's a serving free food. For Pat Ring, he'll be charged with the crime of putting up a political sign, protruded from the sign, from the stand, protruded from the utility pole. Let's hear a little of that. We did a little recording of that debate, and some of it is pretty salty, I've got to tell you, because Pat Ring is a man who's extremely angry that his rights were being trampled upon by Sergeant Crane, the injunction, and the mayor, who, by the way, sat on the steps and watched all this, and by Councilmember Kennedy, who came up and helped Sergeant Crane tear down a sign and then commended him. That's Scott Kennedy, the head of the Resource Center for Nonviolence. I've described him as the banner of beggars. He was the mayor when the anti-panhandling law passed in 1994. I've described him as the killer of the campground. He was the one who told campers they all had to leave out at Coral Street, even though they had no legal place to go, and even though there had been a solemn contract made with them by the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, the property owners, last December, who are now keeping their property locked behind a fence, so that everyone else can, so that they get all their former clients can hide in the bushes and dodge the sleeping van and the troll busters, who, by the way, are on the march. We've gotten reports from Karen Gillette of the Homeless Community Resource Center, who is no raving political radical, I can tell you. She is a social service provider. She and I have been on opposite sides of the fence in many cases. She defending establishment institutions and not particularly excited about political protest as any kind of positive thing, and very critical of me, and I've been very critical of her, but we are agreed on this. We've been hearing reports of kids with baseball bats on the levee beating up drunks. We have two instances of this. It's a serious situation. And so the people that are engaging in these private projects, like the Community House Project, the Mayor Rotkin, whose anti-homeless rhetoric and actions around the injunction are producing a stir in the community of hatred and anger against homeless, they bear responsibility for encouraging, for creating a climate where this kind of situation is more likely and is happening. If you can throttle a protest that concerns itself with the very simple and elementary issue of the right to sleep at night when there's no legal place to be in Santa Cruz, with the importance of modifying a law, the sleeping ban sections of the camping ban in Santa Cruz that make it illegal for homeless people to literally close their eyes at night after 11 o'clock at night, if that becomes the basis for hostility and criminal penalties by the city, the protest itself becomes the focus of that kind of hostility by Mayor Rotkin, by Scott Kennedy, by Jane Yokoyama, then if it's okay for them to do it, then sure, it must be okay for young kids with baseball bats to do it too. It's just a more direct approach to get these bums out of town, right? So now we join Pat Ring and Sunshine Tintoro and others at City Hall. The scene is this. I arrive in my car about mid-morning, and Pat and Sunshine have been warned to remove these signs, but the police have backed off when they were showed the relevant sections of the injunction. We join this conversation. It's June 4th, 1996. We're at City Hall, and there are a number of signs that are very neatly posted and nicely lettered on the left-hand side lamp pole, which adjoins City Hall. It says, we are sleeping nightly, violate unjust laws, and there's a copy of the camping ban, and there's some stuff on the other side, which I can't see, but we have Pat Ring here, and Sunshine Tintoro. Sunshine. So what's happened with, you think you got a word from council member Celia Scott?
Yeah, she thinks the signs are legal. The police said they were going to go back and consult with the city attorney to find out. I pointed out that, I don't know if I did point out or not, but he wrote the document that we were showing them stating the law. Yeah. So I said, what's there to talk to him about? He wrote the damn thing. I mean, I'm not sure I told him that or not, but I definitely told him that the law, it was perfectly legit within the ordinance. You know, there are 14-inch signs. That is a light pole. It's not the type of light pole they intended, but it is definitely a light pole. And they're fixed with tape. I mean, what else? What can you do? There's not a damn thing they can do about them.
Oh, yeah. They can go and rewrite the law.
Or they can just tear them down and arrest you and talk about it later, which, of course, is a favorite tactic.
Well, I was hoping they would, kind of. You know, I was kind of hoping they would do that.
When they came over here, they took pictures, and they said they were going to take the signs, and they took the sign that said the sign is illegal.
Which is a larger sign.
Yeah, that was being held by a teddy bear.
Held by a teddy bear? Did they arrest the teddy bear?
Yes, they did.
She read her rights?
No, the teddy bear was not read its rights. It was just folded into the sign like a burrito and taken away. And then the sergeant, I didn't get her name, but it was a female sergeant. She,
McMahon, probably.
Yeah, went pulling her knife out of her boot to cut the sign down, and I went to my car and got a copy of the injunction, showed it to one of the officers before she pulled the knife out of her boot, and then I showed it to her before she had the opportunity to cut the knife the signs down. I spoke, these signs are within the ordinance, and we measured them, they're physically measured at 14 inches apiece, each one is the same size. And we affixed them with tape to a light pole. And Cecilia was here, she had to go, and she came back when I talked to her.
Cecilia Scott, the council member and attorney?
Yeah, and I showed her my copy of the injunction, which is supposed to be the same as their copy of the injunction, and showed her what I had and what we did, and she asked if we were trying to remain within the ordinance. I said, yeah, we were very specifically trying to remain within the ordinance. She told me that she'd call the city attorney and thank her for coming back out here.
And immediately offered to put this sitting down on the next agenda item for the next city council meeting.
Oh yeah, sure.
Just a side note about this knife in the boot situation here. That's his a concealed weapon. Illegally, you know, and it appeared to be a double-edged dagger, which is also illegal. So what's up with that?
Well, maybe she has a special license to kill from the SCPD.
No, I don't think so. But anyway, who's going to police the police?
Just
chief of police.
Look in the mirror and you'll get the answer to that question.
Determination of anything because the police is the chief of police, the corrupt Steve Belcher.
Now, why do you say that chief of police Steve Belcher is corrupt?
He's not. I don't know if he's corrupt, so he's a sleazeball, that's for sure. He instructs his officers to not only bend the law to their liking, but to absolutely break the law
at
any time they can get away with it. They would have tore those signs down if we hadn't strenuously objected. And Celia hadn't walked by at the same moment, probably. I think that might have had something to do with it.
And who saw the council member, Celia Scott?
Oh, she was here. She stopped. It was all being done at the same time. The three of them were there trying to get my name. And I was telling him, no, I don't have to give you my name. I haven't done anything wrong. We went through that last night, three of us, with Officer D'Orazio, the sleeper kicker. And
we call him Boots.
He tried to get Jim Costner's name. Jim said, no, I hadn't done anything wrong. I'm not giving my name. So he got upset. And then he tried to get Victoria's name, and she wouldn't give him her name. And then I wouldn't give him my name. So he gave up.
So sleeping citations were issued last night?
Yeah, to Sandy and Sunshine. And they were served in chunks. Yeah, you can eat. You just can't store it or serve it or prepare it here. But you're allowed to eat here.
Some police have said you can and some have said you can't. I guess today's Sentinel Court's Lieutenant Habey is saying you can, right?
Yeah.
It's also in the paper, the sign ordinance, which is we followed. It's also in the Sentinel today.
Yeah, so we haven't been cited for any food ordinances yet.
Well, how about a large food shindig here at City Hall?
I've been talking about that. I came over with the idea, you know, I didn't come up with the idea, but I had the thought of actually serving food here. Not, of course, it wouldn't be Feed the People doing it. They're not political.
Certainly not. But Joe Schultz of India, Joe Schultz might be willing to provide soup for...
I'll serve it.
I will serve it with you.
Okay, right on.
Preferably after Friday, but...
Well, I was thinking about doing it next Tuesday, a week from today.
Okay, if I'm not in jail, I will do it. That's traditional time to do it. I think that's quite appropriate.
Right, okay. So I was also thinking about maybe doing it during oral communications with the background of maybe one of us, somebody, or several of us in there speaking, addressing the issue to the city council while we're outside.
With large signs.
Momentarily serving soup.
Absolutely.
Because I think it will be momentarily.
That's a double-edged stiletto in your boot as well, to cut down on
something. More than a couple bowls of soup actually being served before somebody's dragged away.
Well, maybe we can invite the Food Not Bomb San Francisco to come down and help us.
Whatever. You know, we need all the help we can get.
I'll do that. I'll suggest that today to them. And I'll also suggest that Joe Schultz provide you with some
soup. Right on. That's cool. Because I make terrible soup. So
you're pretty horrible. Actually, I can't say whether you make good soup or bad soup.
I don't eat it either, though, so I don't know.
Well, there you are.
And as a side note, note that Food Not Bonds in San Francisco is considering at its meeting whether to come down and support the sleepers at 6:30 on Tuesday, June 11th, with a meal in front of City Council. You might give a call at the Food Not Bombs hotline to find out if this is currently happening. That number is 425-3345. Shortly after the conversation you just heard between myself and Pat Ring, the morning of June 4th, Sergeant Andy Crane showed up, and the action began.
A portion of a sign may protrude from the edge of the object to which it is attached.
So if we take them down, just continue to harass the press, don't you, on a daily basis. You just don't want to give nobody a break.
Ask yourself the question, Mr. Ring.
No. I'm doing good. You're going to hell.
Hell no.
Okay, so we're talking about section 9.49.030, subsection D of the permitted signs here. No sign may protrude from the edge of the object to which it is attached. So perhaps what we need are fold-around signs. Then they would not be protruding from the edge to which they're attached. So if these signs are so small they can't be read.
These signs are illegal.
Illegal signs.
Either they will remove them or I will remove them. Uh-huh. And I'm going to give them that opportunity at this moment to do that.
Okay. So we really need...
Scott!
Here we have the First Amendment being torn off the sign, Scott. Come on back and take a look.
Yeah. Well, apparently, isn't the First Amendment right?
The guardian of the First Amendment is leaving with his briefcase after having gotten an injunction. Thank you, Scott. I think you've shown exactly how you feel about this.
Yeah, we knew it all along, but now that was great. Mm-hmm. We don't have a picture for that.
Can I take a look at those signs before you haul them away, Andy? I want to make a note of what you said on them.
There are nine.
Absolutely.
Return them to the owner.
Well, when they come up to me to reclaim them, I will issue them the citations accordingly. Yeah, right after I issue a citation.
Citation.
Okay.
That's wonderful.
If you'll allow me to do this first, I'll be good.
Are you sure you want a citation? That's an injunction offense.
Yeah, it's also a First Amendment issue.
Yeah, it is.
And a brief aside, the tape ran out just as Scott Kennedy came up and helped tear down one of the signs which Andy Crane was cutting off the pole, showing his solidarity with the police sergeant's actions. Certainly a very forthright and frank assertion of his new philosophy. He tends to sit next to Mary Beth Campbell at council meetings. I suspect his opinion has moved into that sort of swamp of the political spectrum as well, at least on this issue. We return now to the scene in which you hear the voices of Sunshine, Pat Ring, Becky Johnson, a video reporter, myself, and several other people, including Celia Scott, who eventually shows up, as do other police officers.
So let me take a look at these, Andy, and say...
If you'll wait just a moment until I finish this, I'll be more than happy.
My name on those signs.
So Scott Kennedy drove by and helped Andy remove one of the signs in a very public-spirited move. That's a council member who actually helped to... supported the injunction against the homeless protest here in a 5-2 vote. And Andy is busy unwinding strapping tape from the City Hall light post.
Put that in the adjustment.
Witnessing this is Sunshine, Becky Johnson, Robert here.
Oh, they did.
And Pat is watching. And also, I believe, you're also watching.
I'm watching. See this. I wonder, what's the justification? How come? I thought the 14-inch signs were...
Andy has pointed out there's a section of the ordinance which says that it protrudes from a pole.
The part, as follows. Non-commercial signs may be placed on public property only on public light and utility poles, kiosks, public bulletin boards, as provided in this section. Signs found to violate this section may be summarily removed by anyone. And it's the only relevant part, it says the only relevant part is this.
So
read the whole thing.
I did read the whole thing!
Standing right next to you, there's no reason to shout.
Fuck you.
No, you won't.
I think I'll look at those.
Sure. There's a reason to shout. You know, when we get treated like fucking second-class citizens by pigs like you, there is a reason to shout. You're definitely violating my First Amendment right. There's no fucking doubt about that.
Okay.
Okay. That's all you got to say. Okay.
What am I supposed to say, Mr.?
You're supposed to not say anything. You weren't supposed to come out here and do it. You're illegally removing the fucking signs. The only relevant part, as follows. The part you read is obviously not relevant, or the fucking city attorney would have put it in here.
It is relevant, because I called him before I came over.
Oh, yeah, right. Well,
so take it up in the court.
I'm gonna.
Fight the injunction?
Gonna. When you issue me my citation, I will fight it in court.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
So the signs have been removed. We have 6 14-inch signs, or less than 14-inch signs, with the names of two protesters on the back. Sunshine,
Sunshine,
Pinto, and Patrick's like, signs. Okay. So let me take a look at these signs, Annie. Which side? I just want to see the other side. I'm going to kind of run through them here. We have a sign that says, "That is the law." And we have a copy of the camping ban, sections A, B, and C of 6.36.010. Actually, a somewhat summarized copy. Then we have go to jail. And then we have violate unjust laws. And then we have fall asleep.
That was the one that Scott Kennedy removed.
Ah, yes. We are sleeping nightly.
We are sleeping nightly.
Okay, thank you, Andy. Okay.
Landslide, baby.
Are you going to arrest me?
What is your name?
Sunshine.
She is named in the...
Have you been served?
Yes, I have.
Then you will be arrested.
And you can keep the sign.
So, you can make a decision, and I'm going to issue a citation, and because it has your name on it, and if you don't accept the citation now, what I will do is I will sit there and forward a quick request to the city attorney's office to file a warrant.
I have no problem with accepting a citation, but...
Well, the court injunction and my department policies say that once I issue you a citation for violation of the ordinance, then you will be taken to jail.
Sergeant Crane's statement that Sunshine will be taken to jail if she accepted the citation, but if she did not, that instead he would forward the citation to the police department and perhaps or probably a warrant would issue, became a bone of contention some minutes later when Pat Ring declined to accept the citation and Sergeant Crane insisted on jailing him anyway. Sergeant Crane eventually gave Sunshine the opportunity to leave and presumably get arrested later because she had a kindergarten class to attend to. But when the Sentinel reporter arrived and reported the whole incident in a page 2 story the next day, Crane insisted that he was not acting vindictively or arbitrarily against Pat Ring, whereas in fact he seemed to be to me, because he was offering Sunshine the opportunity not to take a citation. If she chose to accept it because it was a violation of a court injunction that had already been served, she would be taken to jail. But if she declined responsibility at that point or refused to sign the citation, then the citation would be forwarded to the police headquarters. He gave the woman the opportunity, Sunshine, the kindergarten teacher, but did not give the more angry and vocal man, Pat Ring, the opportunity, showing a sort of a genteel sexism as well as unequal application of the law, in my opinion. A few moments later, Sunshine tried to explain that she was, in fact, trying to follow the law.
Landslide, baby.
Are you going to arrest me?
What is your name?
Sunshine.
She is named in the...
Have you been served?
Yes, I have.
Then you will be arrested.
And you can keep the sign.
So, you can make a decision, and I'm going to issue a citation, and because it has your name on it, and if you don't accept the citation now, what I will do is I will sit there and forward a quick request to the city attorney's office to file a warrant.
I have no problem with accepting a citation, but...
Well, the court injunction and my department policies say that once I issue you a citation for violation of the ordinance, then you will be taken to jail.
According to my copy of the injunction, it doesn't recite that part of the ordinance, which...
What it does list is 166.4 out of the penal code, which is a violation of the court injunction.
But my problem is if I was aware of that, because what all I have here is this quote from that, and so I followed that. We specifically followed it by measuring the signs out and by specifically making sure it's just right here, which is where it talks about section 9.49, and I'm aware of that's what you're saying. But that was the only part that it listed.
9.0.30 considers all of the subsections,
right,
all of the amendments.
But those subsections aren't listed.
No, they don't have to list it. One section covers the, just like camping, 636.010 encompasses.
This sounds like a lot of technical argument, but it's very important because the demonstrators, by their account, were trying to very carefully follow the lettering of the injunction, the wording of the injunction, as they understood it. And that injunction cited a specific part of the sign code. The part that Andy Crane was citing was apparently one cooked up by the city attorney in order to remove those signs from the pole once the police officers had been shown that the injunction as written made no provision for that. The reason this is a form of police abuse is because the police were initiating action against signs at City Hall, getting appropriate decisions from the city attorney, then coming back with these new interpretations that were not mentioned in the clear wording of the injunction, also not presented to the demonstrators, as I understand it, in the more extended packet given to those who were served with the injunction, which included copies of what were supposedly the relevant sections of the sign law, and arresting people under those sections, or else seizing, confiscating their signs and taking them down, denying them the basic right to First Amendment expression. And this wasn't the first time. 2 days before, police had come and seized signs and literature, as well as bedding. In a practice that we had thought had ended about 3 weeks ago with the intervention of council members Celia Scott and Byers. But no, the bedding of Anthony Patanjo and of Gideon and of Dan Hopkins was taken and locked away. Actually, three blankets of Dan Hopkins and a sleeping bag of Patanjo's. So the issue of technicalities can become very important because at stake is a six-month jail sentence for Pat Ring and for Sunshine Tintorer. The conversation continued with Becky Johnson, a local reporter and sympathizer with the protest, making these comments.
14 inches long would be legal.
They were made for regular full-size poles.
Well, it doesn't actually state that in here.
Well, all I'm saying is a desperate...
I mean, the common sense, actually...
It doesn't actually say that.
If it were prevailing, Andy Crane, here, would be that these sign ordinance...
Pigs have no common sense.
Common sense would dictate that these ordinances are specifically for signs that are posted on utility poles or light poles, not necessarily this type. Not referred to handheld. That's what but reading this is what common sense dictates to me. Is that handheld signs would be.
I'm not going to get into the discussion. It's going to be for the courts.
Well, Andy, where is it talk specifically about handheld signs in this ordinance?
There's another section for handheld signs. These are ones posted.
Is it here? Is it here in these papers that you have?
No, those are the ones regarding.
These are for telephone poles and notices that are posted on utility poles. But where is the ordinance for handheld signs? Doesn't it seem like that by limiting the protesters to 14-inch signs that you're applying the utility pole law to handheld signs, perhaps an error?
The point Becky was making, of course, is that there are large signs being held 2 days before by gay pride protesters on the Sunday of gay protest, and that there's been no restriction of 14 inches for those handheld signs, and yet at the City Hall, protesters are being limited to 14-inch signs by the interpretation of the police department. All this under an injunction supposedly tailored to common sense, to use the words of the judge who issued it, Samuel Stevens. Stevens apparently in chambers told Eleanor Eisenberg, the ACLU attorney, by the report of Kate Wells, that bedding, for instance, blankets, sleeping bags, when used for warmth and not for sleeping purposes, were not to be confiscated nor to be the subject of an arrest. They were to be regarded as clothing. Police The police response to this, of course, one day after Stephen's order, was to seize three blankets, as I mentioned before, and a sleeping bag. It seems that their response to the sign ordinance is to try to attempt to destroy any kind of public presentation of signs that they can, and that's what's happening here.
Perhaps an error?
This is not a utility.
A woman is about to be arrested.
Well, it says utility pole or light pole.
Or a sign posted on this board.
109-121. Yeah, could you send by the central email?
It's only the city council that voted these stupid things in anyway, and the businessmen. And there's nothing but pawns of the businessmen and the city council.
So it's about 10:35, and a local citizen comes on up. How are you doing? Well, these are the signs that are being taken. They say, we are sleeping nightly, go to sleep, go to jail, and fall asleep, go to jail. And this woman in the blue shirt is about to be taken to jail for contempt of court for putting up those signs. She has actually admitted that her name is on the back of those signs with her address and her phone number. And those signs are being taken down. In fact, a council member himself who helped to get this injunction together ripped down one of those signs. His name was Scott Kennedy.
Do you guys have a list of the council members?
We can get you one.
Yes,
I have to.
In fact,
I'll give you a name right away.
Why don't you show the council offices are right there, and they have a secretary who can give you all that information. You go right up there, and it's your first left.
Let me go in.
Okay. And what's your name, sir?
Daryl Williams.
And Daryl, you've been observing this?
Yes, I have.
So in case any testimony is needed in court as to what happened, you'll be able to supply them.
Yes.
I'm sorry, could you repeat the time?
Yes, I will.
Okay. So right now we are in front of City Hall and waiting for Sergeant Crane to issue a citation.
Free to go. And you'll take it up and eliminate that option right now, Mr. Ring. I'm going to issue you and her a citation because your names are on here. And then I'm going to issue a citation. I'm going to take you to jail.
Note that here Sergeant Crane changes his policy. He had said before, and you can clearly hear it in the tape, that unless a Pat or Sunshine accepted their citation, they would not be taken to jail, but rather that he would send a report to the police station. He changed his policy, apparently, perhaps on direction from above, perhaps because he grew angry with Pat, who knows why, but his policy now became to, if your name is on the back of a sign and you've been enjoined, you get to go to jail. If the sign, even though it's 14 inches long, protrudes out from beyond a 2-inch pole, that is the pole right in front of City Hall. My reading of this was, of course, bad faith, vindictiveness, and harassment by the police department against a very legitimate, peaceful First Amendment protest. Sergeant Crane to issue a citation.
And you'll take it up and you eliminate that option right now, Mr. Ring. I'm going to issue you and her a citation because your names are on here. And then I'm going to issue a citation. I'm going to take you to jail.
So give your keys to someone to move the car or else
what? Just me working.
Okay. Make a phone call. So she's going to make a phone call. That's okay. So Sergeant Crane is using his discretion in this situation to essentially help a woman lose her job by
department policy.
Following his now announced department policy, although a moment ago he was telling us he would have to check first with the city attorney.
I got 55 with the city attorney.
Have you just checked by radio with the city attorney?
Check with the city attorney on the signs.
I'm aware of that, but you said you would give her an opportunity to a warrant.
Exactly what happened is when I issued her a citation,
right,
then she would be in violation of the injunction. She's already been served.
But she was making a decision as to whether she wanted to claim authorship of those signs at the moment. Someone else might have written her name on those signs. True?
Well, she said she knew they were there.
Well, have you accepted responsibility for a citation yet, Sunshine, or not?
No, I have not.
She has not. So perhaps the original procedure you were using might be the appropriate one to follow. I mean, at least let's put it this way. You have the option to do that if you wish.
My options are just about eliminated.
Well, you told me a moment ago you had the option to do that. I don't see what's changed in the last 5 minutes. That's just my reading of it. I'm not trying to,
I
mean, it sounds like you're making a decision perhaps based on something else. I don't know what that would be possibly.
I certainly hope not.
Well, I mean, you told her a moment ago that if she did not take responsibility for the sign, you would take the matter to the city attorney or to your department, and a warrant may then issue. You didn't tell her that you would take her to jail right away.
So
you're going to lose your job because of you, Mr. Crane. I couldn't call you an officer of the law. I could not respect
you.
I've never respected you.
I mean, half the reason if he chooses to do this is because people have been screaming at him at the top of his lungs. And, you know, I have kindergartners that I need to be taken care of in a half an hour, and that's what my concern is. I wrote those signs because I thought that I was following the law. I was trying to comply to your ordinance that I was given, and I was doing the best I could.
Did I not show you the section that was there?
But the thing is that I was not aware of that. I was aware of the paragraph that I had in the injunction, and that's why I followed it along those lines. If I was aware, I would not have proceeded, because I was trying to work with the provisions that were given to us. To my knowledge, that was what I was trying to work with. I was not trying to cause any more trouble. You know, I have 50 children that I'm supposed to be taking care of in a half an hour, and
I will tell you what I will do on this particular case. And let me explain something to you very seriously. Number one is I did point out the ordinance as a whole. It doesn't list every subsection, and it's not my responsibility to make sure that you're aware of every subsection. But I came out this morning, I showed you guys the subsection, I showed you that before I took down the signs, and I'm not asking you to like it, I'm not asking you to do any of that. Right? And what I will do is that I normally don't involve myself personally with some issues, and I told you that you would have that opportunity. I'm going to give you that opportunity because of the children, but this is the one and only time to do that. And what will go in is that there will be a report made, there will be sent over there, and you may indeed be in violation of the injunction. And I'm going to let you know everything that occurred this morning. And you knew your name was on the back of the signs.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put in there that you didn't read the other sections, but that's not my responsibility to read the other sections. But if there may, there will be, and a warrant issued for your arrest.
Don't say anything else.
For that, okay? And I'm telling you that right up front. It will be probably a warrant issued for your arrest. And when that occurs, then you will indeed be incarcerated. Okay? And any other time, you will be incarcerated if you violate any part of that injunction. Okay? I don't want there to be any misunderstanding. When I list the section, we need to read all of the subsections accordingly. You know, and I use the same premise with the camping ordinance. There's A, B, and C. The other one says there's a whole bunch of others. You need to read the subsections. Alright, so you need to go from there. And if you do that now, then I will still recommend that you get...